world know that you are worshiping with us on Facebook. Revelation 20. Last week, as we continued our study of what happens when you die, we learned that a thousand-year period of time when we will experience complete and total peace here on this earth. That'll be nice, won't it, church? Has anybody ever experienced a year worth of peace? 6 months worth of peace? 3 months worth of peace? I don't know that I've ever experienced a week, just 1 week of peace. But a thousand-year period of time, which is perfect peace here on this earth, we'll experience. The period of time is called the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. We saw that Satan will be bound by an angel that used to be subject to Satan himself when Satan was the archangel in heaven. And locked, Satan will be locked and sealed in the abyss for a thousand-year period of time. Amen. Thank you, brother. You're always paying attention, Bill. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. You too. Thank you. Now, we learned that those who will be here on this earth with Jesus are those who had been raptured or called the church, those who had made it through the tribulation period and did not accept the mark of the beast or worship the beast during that seven-year period. Now, we also learned that the seven-year period of tribulation will be the hardest period of time this world has ever seen or will ever see, and those who made it through will be rewarded with this 1,000-year peace on this earth with Jesus. Now today we're going to continue in our study and we'll see what happens after the thousand years. You mean, brother, we can look that far ahead? Well, I can't look that far ahead, but the Bible tells about it, amen? And aren't you glad that the Bible does tell us about it this morning? So let's look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. Revelation 20 and verse 7. And John records, when the thousand years are completed. That's how we know, you know, where we are this morning, right? All right. When the thousand years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for the battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. They came up from the surface of the earth and surrounded the encampment of the saints, the beloved city. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and again, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Now, Lord, I pray that you would be with us during this short time we have to learn more about you and your word. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes and our ears and our minds, God, that we might be receptive to what is being said, not because of me, but because of you. Lord, help me to preach what your word says in fullness and in truth in a way that can be understood, Lord, that we'll be greater servants for you when we leave this place. Help us, Lord, to lift your name on high in all that we say. In Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Once again, we are faced with very little scripture to see a glorious period of time. We're talking four short verses. Four short verses, and we're really three short verses, and this is an unbelievable period of time of what takes place, Ricky Tyre, after the thousand-year millennial reign. And we don't have a whole lot of information about it. I mean, you would think John would write a whole chapter about it, but we don't see that this morning. But what we do see is going to take place should thrill the hearts of every believer who has ever walked this earth. Now, we studied a few weeks ago that Satan just being bound for 1,000 years. Church, today we are seeing Satan making his last stand of rebellion and being banished forever and ever, never to be seen or heard from ever again. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Satan doesn't bother me. Well, if he doesn't bother you, if Satan does not bother you, listen to me. Listen, if Satan does not bother you, you are not a Christian. Amen. If you can do what you want, when you want, how you want, with whoever you want, and Satan does not bother, listen, you are not a Christian. If Satan has never told you, listen, you're not saved, you're not a Christian. This ought to be the most, y'all need to wake up. Goodness gracious. What do we just see in our scripture? Verse 7 tells us that Satan will be released. Released. Kenny, how long has he been in this abyss? We talked about this a few minutes ago. How long has he been in this abyss? 1,000 years. Now, y'all remember, Colin, you remember this. You're in college, a 1,000 years he was locked and sealed in this abyss, right? I remember the second time I was in the ninth grade, my biology teacher, Fred Nims, would give us extra credit points if we would bring in animals. Dead ones. Roadkills, yeah, and we would dissect them in class. Any of y'all ever had any weird biology teachers? Y'all, listen. Did I mention that was the second year I was in ninth grade? I needed to find every roadkill I could, y'all, for biology. But I'll never forget this one kid. I guess he didn't get the announcement. He didn't bring just roadkill in. He brought in live raccoons. Live raccoons. And it was a mama with 3 or 4 babies. Evidently, the mama had babies, and she was incapacitated to a certain degree, and he was able to scoop her into a cage. Now, listen, Mr. Taylor, that cage had a metal bottom, and it was, not chicken wire. I mean, it was the good, strong wire. Now, Mr. Nims, he couldn't believe that somebody had brought a raccoon into school. Evidently, raccoons carry rabies. That's exactly right. Now, possums carry what? Possums carry nothing. Y'all don't need to be scared of possums, all right? Armadillos, thank you, Mr. White, for getting ahead of me once again, as you always do. Armadillos carry leprosy. That's exactly right. Now, Mr. Nim saw this raccoon, and he says, well, we got to take this out back. It can't stay in the building. Well, sometime during the school day, something amazing happened. That raccoon dug through the metal bottom to get out. There was blood everywhere. Now, it wasn't dead when it came in, but I mean, I don't know how it lived. I really don't know how it lived. What are you saying, Brother Kyle? That raccoon was not staying caged. It was not. Now, I love watching nature shows on TV, and from time to time, they'll rescue an animal. They'll be like a kangaroo or something. Not America. Y'all, they're not deciduous here. Y'all know that, right? Mr. White, you even knew that one, right? But something will happen to an animal, and they'll take it to a rescue, and they'll get it revived, and they'll put it back into a cage, and they'll take it back out to be released. Released, exactly right. Now, from time to time, they have them drugged up, and they'll open up the cage, and they'll kind of walk around and a little bit, and about that time, Griffin, they'll realize, okay, ho, I'm free. And then you know what they'll do? They'll take off. That's exactly right. Now, most ones that I've seen, they've taken them out, especially birds, and they'll open the hatch, and as soon as that hatch is open, what happens? Boom, they're gone. I mean, they are gone. I've seen women, they take seals, and they release them back out into the ocean, and the women will just sit there and cry. They didn't turn around and say goodbye. No, as soon as they have that open door, they're gone. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying this? Satan is going to be released after 1,000 years. What do you think it's going to be like when he gets out? Craig, 1,000 years he's been bound. Now, he's not there now. He's roaming the earth seeking who he may devour right now. But I promise you, during this 1,000 years, he is not going to be able to get out because he's sealed by an angel who has the authority from God. He's going to be in there for 1,000 years, not coming out. But that whole 1,000 years, he's going to be plotting about what he's going to do when he gets out. Right? So, if you think Satan is bad now, if you think you've seen him doing what in Scripture bad now, Listen, if you think that Satan is going to manipulate people during the 7-year period of time is bad, church, you ain't seen nothing yet. When he gets out, Ricky Tyre, he is going to be going all out. All out. Now, verse 7b and 8 tells us exactly where Satan is going to be and how he and who he is going to deceive. Look at 7b. 7b says this. It says, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth. Well, where is it that Satan's going to go? Church, Satan is going to go everywhere. He is going to be everywhere. Now, please understand, he is not today, nor will he ever be omnipresent the way God is. God can be every place at all times. Satan is never going to be omnipresent. But what he will do in that day is the same thing that he does in the day that we live in. He will manipulate people to do his will, and they will. Easily. Brother Kyle, how in the world? All you have to do is look around today. There are so, everything that we should not do is written in the Word of God. And there are people who are sitting amongst us today, that I guess don't believe that. If the Word of God says don't do it, you don't do it. If the Word of God says don't support somebody who does it, you don't support somebody who does it. Amen? I mean, it's that easy. But, the day that we live in is going to be just like that. It's going to be worse then, though. Why is that? Because we're so easily manipulated by Satan. And nobody wants to admit they've been manipulated by Satan, do they? I don't know why it's so easy for other people to see, but when we're manipulated ourselves, we just can't see it. Now, who is here on the earth at this time? Who are those people who are going to be deceived by Satan? Have y'all ever thought about that? I mean, hold on a second. Church has been raptured. The 7-year period of tribulation's taking place. We're talking, the 1,000-year millennial reign has, those were all God's people. Well, who in the world is Satan going to manipulate after the 1,000 years to draw them to his side? Who in the world could that be? Those who were born during the millennial reign of Christ. Those who were born. Well, you meant, Brother Kyle, there's going to be people born? Yeah. Those who make it through the 7-year tribulation, who don't go, rise into heaven, those who make it, they see the glorious appearing, they're not going to die. They're going to be here in their bodily form for 1,000 years during this 1,000-year millennial reign, and they're still going to be having children and, what have you. Those who were born during that 1,000 years, they've only experienced the glories of God. They're going to have to make a decision for themselves. Listen, you're always going to have to make a decision to choose God. Every person who's ever walked this earth is going to have to make a decision to choose God. Exactly, or not. So, we then see in verse 9, something unusual. We see in verse 9, a war is about to be waged. Now, we see this large group of deceived people surrounding what scholars believe to be Jerusalem to wage war with the saints and those who had not been deceived or could not be deceived. This group is identified with the prophecies of Ezekiel 37. Church, what is baffling to Bible scholars, historians, seminary professors, and preachers, just like the one who is standing before you right here today, is that Satan has deceived these people so well that they actually believe that they can overcome and destroy God's people at this time. I can't imagine that. Mr. Taylor, they have lived with Christ here on this earth for 1,000 years. Satan's been released. Somehow he has deceived their mind, just like he's deceived many people's minds in the world today. Brother Kyle, I don't know what you're talking about. Come see me in my office any time of the week, and I'll open God's Word, and I'll explain it to you in a simplistic way, the way Satan is deceiving so many people's minds. Amen? I listen, some of you are so blind, I'll draw you a picture with crayons to let you see it, okay? But they're deceived. They're deceived. And Satan is doing everything that he wants to, and they believe wholeheartedly, Dan, that we can win, we can beat God. It's kind of like today, isn't it? All hell is raging all over this world. And listen, you can let it boil down to anything, but what it is man raging against God. Everything. You're either with God or you're against God. And on this day, these people are so deceived, so their mind is so warped that they think they can destroy God. Kind of like today. Listen, if y'all hadn't understood this, if you're a true Christian, you win. You're not going to lose. You're not going to lose. Now, we see the outcome of this battle at the end of verse 9. But there's something more we need to see and to understand here. Now, I love history. I love to watch old historical movies. I love to watch war movies. And I love to learn what took place during World War I, World War II, the technology that we had, and the Korean War and the Vietnam War. And there was an old guy used to come and sit on my parents' dock. His name was Bill, and he would catfish. I don't know why. That's all he fished for was catfish. And he'd sit there, and when it got hot, Mr. Crawford, in the middle of the summer, he'd go out there, and he'd sit in the morning, and as the sun got hot, he'd take his shirt off. And I'll never forget the first time I saw old Bill with his shirt off. He had more holes in him, Dan. I'm telling you, he looked like a colander. And I asked him, I said, Bill, what in the world happened to you? Were you in a car wreck? He said, no, I was in the Korean War, and he told me all about it. And, it was just, once he told me, I was just like, man, it hurt. When I started looking at the Civil War and looked at how barbaric some of the things that took place during the Civil War right here in the South, on battlefields, the cannonballs used to roll through enemy lines, and if they didn't explode, they'd just sit there, and people wouldn't know that they were there and just explode, and the shrapnel would just tear people to pieces. Now, I think everybody has visualized themselves getting shot at some point, right? I mean, I don't want to get shot, y'all, but if I had to pick, if I had to say, okay, what bullet do I want to get shot with? You know, I'd sit there and I'd look at the 22. Man, the 22 goes in you, and it's not powerful enough to cut. It'll just bounce around, and it just destroys all kinds of stuff. A little bigger caliber might go through you, but it might not. 308, usually, sometimes it may, but if it's got a hollow point, it's not going to. You know, you look through all, I've explored all the options, but then you come to what they used to shoot each other with in the Civil War. Y'all ever seen it? Y'all seen it? Well, what's it called? A musket? It's a round. I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to get shot by one of those, Brother Frank. I do not. They would blow half your leg off if it hit you. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying? It was bad. And the medical technology during the Civil War, it was horrible. Horrible. If you had an injury, they just soon cut it off. And did y'all see? Have y'all seen the instruments they used to cut limbs off back then? It's horrible. I mean, the handsaw that I have of my dad's, it would have been better than some of the stuff they used. Brother Kyle, what are you? Why are you saying all this? This is horrible. But this is nothing compared to what's coming. It's really not. I love to learn about all this, but do you understand that this world has been in some type of war or another with each other ever since Cain killed Abel? Do y'all know that? The atrocities of war are unbelievable. Do you understand that what we just saw in our scripture today, when God sends down fire from heaven and devours this army, what we just witnessed was the last war that would ever take place here on this earth. Amen. This is a time of no mores. No more war, no more strife, no more injury, no more death, no more, no, I mean, it's all of the atrocities of war, and some of y'all have been in war. Y'all know how bad it is. I'm just playing, giving illustration on things I've seen in TV. Y'all have experienced it. You've lived it. I don't know what it's like, but you do. But this day, on this day, there is no more. It's all done. It is the last war. Praise God. Haven't enough bullets been shot, cannons been fired, missiles been launched, tanks, I mean, have we not enough? On this day, it's all over. God puts an end to it. Now, those arrogant people who thought they could deceive God and they were coming against Jerusalem, did y'all notice that the people who they were coming against never fired a shot? Brother John, they never fired a shot. They never shot an arrow. They never pulled out a pocket knife. You know why? God destroyed them. God destroyed them all. The last war. We then see the end of something else. The end of something else. Look at verse 9. Chapter 20, verse 9. It says, they came up from the surface of the earth and surrounded the encampment of the saints and the beloved city. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they were tormented day and night forever and ever. I love, love, love old Christmas movies. I don't care much for the new Christmas movies, y'all. I love the old Christmas movies. My kids used to call me Paw Paw because they said I was an old person. Turner Classic Movies, I used to love Turner Classic Movies. You know, on Christmas Day, years and years and years and years ago, I guess, 30s, 40s, 50s, they used to do something on Christmas morning. Y'all know what they used to do on Christmas morning? Churches? Well, yeah, they went to church, but they'd ring the Christmas bells. Y'all remember seeing in the movies? Christmas morning, first light, they'd ring the Christmas bells all over town. Why? Because it was Christmas morning. Can y'all imagine what this day is going to be like when Satan is bound? Forever? Now, he was just bound for 1,000 years, Dan, and, that was an exciting period of time. But I'm talking about forever. He's gone. He's done. We don't even have to say his name, think about, wonder, and look over our shoulders ever again. He's gone. He's done. Forever. Can you imagine the bells that are going to be ringing, the happiness, the joy, the jubilation that's going to take place all over this world when Satan is completely and totally destroyed and gone? I'm looking forward to that, church. I'm looking forward to that day. Church, when we see these events take place, it's going to be the greatest time in scriptural history. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Do you know my Jesus? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we praise you. Lord, be with us during this time of invitation. If there's anybody here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. Help us, Lord, to see and experience you like we never have before. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down to the altar and just spend some time with the Lord? Will you come?